Okay, here we go. I want to start by talking to you about means and methods. M-E-A-N-S, means and methods. Sometimes people say to us, hey, how are you any different from anybody else? You use talk, you use listening, you use the same kinds of things that other counselors use. Oh, yeah. Those are means. Those are just things that have to do with us as human beings. You have to talk, you have to listen, you have to do a few other things that you do, like get up in the morning, and so on. So we're not talking about means. Of course, people all use similar means, but they do not use similar methods. That's what's different, methods. You cannot borrow the methods of some other group and bring them into Christianity and Christian counseling and think that you're going to do Christian counseling, because those methods are very different from means. Everybody uses talk, but not everybody talks like a Freudian talks. That's method. Not everybody talks like a Rogerian talks, if he ever does. Nobody talks about a Skinnerian talks, who is a Christian. Only Skinnerians talk that way, and so on. And so what are methods is over against means. Means are like talking and listening, but methods are committed ways of using means. They are ways of dedicating the means that you are using to the ends or the goals of a system. Think of a system broadly this way. Here's a problem that a person recognizes in counseling. Here's a solution that he recognizes in counseling. And then he has to build a bridge from the problem to the solution, a way to get from here over to here, to get from problem to get to solution. Those things that bring him from problem to solution are the methods that he uses. Now, everything depends in your methodology. Everything depends on what you think the problem is and what you think the solution is. Do you see? If you're moving from problem identified as such to solution identified as such, then you have to build a set of methods that will get you from point A to point B. Now, if you believe that the problem in people's lives is, as Rogerians do, that they do not, that people do not look down within, and that the solution is to get them stop looking outside of themselves and start looking within, then you build methodology in that will do that. And that's why Rogers has a non-directive methodology. Non-directive. It's all from within, the individual, the counselee himself. He doesn't want anybody from the outside directing the counselee as to what to believe or to say. That's why he has a reflective or non-directive method, because it accords with his idea of what the problem is and his idea of what the solution is. So the non-directive or reflective methodology moves from point A to point B, and it really goes there to the extent that he's able to make it do so. But if you're a Christian who believes that sin is the problem, salvation is the answer, and the Word of God is the answer, and so on, your goals are different, your view of the problem is different. If you use non-directive methodology, it's not going to get you to a Christian goal, and it's not going to deal with the Christian problem as he sees it. Do you see the difference between means and methods and why the eclectics are wrong? The eclectics who think that they can drag all these methodologies out of all these pagan systems and so on and put them into Christianity. Even the pagans know better than that. Rogers would never have used Skinnerian methodology. Skinner would never have used Rogerian methodology, because they know that the methods that these people have built are consistent with the goals and with the problem as they see it and as that person sees it, and so they build consistent systems. So when we come to listening, we're not talking about listening that's the same as everybody else. We're talking about listening that is a sort of listening that is dedicated to the goals of a Christian system, and the same is true of talk. So our kind of talk is not like Rogerian talk. Our kind of talk is not like Freudian talk, not like Skinnerian talk. It's not like a whole bunch of other people the way they do talk. We do talk from the Bible and about God and to God and so on. And our talk is committed to the ends of our system. It's committed to the goal of getting people to honor and love and serve Jesus Christ, which is the answer to their problems, whatever the sin problem is over here. Okay, so if you've got the idea, then nuthetic counseling, which has three aspects to it, is the means that we believe will reach the goal. Nuthetic counseling deals with change. It's concerned about biblical change, bringing on biblical change in a person's life. And that change comes about through concern. Concern in the Bible is a very large part of the word nuthesia or nutheteo in the verbal form. That word is a familial term at points. It's used that way even in the scriptures about family relationships and love toward one another. Take, for example, 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 14, where he says, "I am not writing these things to shame you, but to counsel you," nutheteo, "as my dear children," the way a parent would counsel, would try to direct and help and guide his child. That's the kind of concern that a Christian should have for the counselee. It's not just some kind of cold, austere kind of a presentation that we should be giving to our counselees, but we ought to care for them like a parent would care for a child, a really familial kind of context in which our counseling is done. So nuthetic counseling is biblical change brought about by warm concern for the individual through verbal confrontation. All of those elements are in that word nuthetēo. That's why we've brought the word over into English, because there's no one English word that says all that that Greek term says. The Greek term has all those three elements in it combined. Change, out of concern, in order to bring it by means of verbal confrontation. All three of those are clustered in that one word. It's a big word. It's a valuable word. And so, since no other, the word counseling, you see, in English doesn't say that, it says, tell me what kind, because it's too generic, it's too general. It doesn't give you an idea of what kind of counseling is. Here, when we say nuthetic counseling, we're talking about what Paul used in his language when he talked about counseling people, and it had those elements all compositely mixed together in one element, one word. So, since this is true, we should be careful when we deal with the counselee to analyze his speech, his talk. That's the first thing. You want to be careful to analyze the talk of your counselees. You see, biblical counseling is not what they used to call Freudian counseling, the talk cure. That is, by talking itself. And also Rogers had this idea, as we said yesterday, talking itself and listening, that's what's going to solve problems, that there's something therapeutic about talk. That's not our view. Talk is important as a means to an end. It is not the end in itself of what we do in counseling. So, because talk is an important one of the means that we use in counseling, we must think about it. And the talk that our counselee uses is something that's critical for us to look at, evaluate, analyze, understand, and deal with. Our talk and his talk is what we're discussing in this lecture today. The counselee's talk is critical to understanding something about him you're going to need to know if you're going to counsel him adequately. For example, his speech patterns will reveal much about him. His habits of speaking. For example, the tone of his speech. You know, you can read words in print that say, "Yes, dear." They sound very loving, like those hearts on the back wall there. But if you hear somebody in counseling say, "Yes, dear," you see how the tone, and this is an obvious exaggeration, but you can see how the tone of what this person says negates the words themselves. So tone is a very important matter in listening to talk. What kind of tone does this person have when he talks? Does he say to you, when you say, "Now, are you willing to commit yourself to this thing?" Then he says to you, Yeah. Well, you know, is that a real committal? Is the question. The tone makes all the difference there, and so you get an answer.